2-2. Got him looking. Called strike three. What a performance by the White Sox. First game here against the Rays of this series, and they get the win 6-1.
John Triffin on CHSN. The White Sox continue to win baseball games. They're taking on the Tampa Bay Rays, one of the best teams in the American League. In fact, the best team in the American League at 64-45, and they pick up a 6-1 impressive victory at the Trop last night. Alex Kuhn alongside Rami Makhlouf, 312-644-6767. Is the phone number if you want to jump in on the baseball discussion as we have transitioned from all kinds of Bears training camp discussion. If you missed anything, catch everything on the Odyssey Rewind app, on the Odyssey app. The Rewind feature on the Odyssey app, you can hear all of today's show. Rami, as I mentioned at the outset of this show, two teams in contention right now, holding down playoff spots. The White Sox in the American League, three games up in the AL Central. What if I would have told you that in January? You would have called me clinically insane.
Not see that one coming. You have to admit, did not see that one coming.
Nobody did. Right now, Will Venable, the odds-on favorite to win AL Manager of the Year. Then in the National League, the Cubs, 62-48. Despite a myriad of injuries. And by the way, I want to take this back a second before we jump into this trade deadline topic. I was listening to you, Rami, one night on the as I was driving on the Kennedy, and you were talking about Craig Counsell and how thankless his job has been. Like, yeah. How little people how little people have given him credit for what he has done as Cubs manager. I'm looking right now at the NL Manager of the Year, and I'd be hard pressed to say he should not be right in contention for that award along with Will Venable in the AL.
Yeah, I'm right there with. I always say that, like, the Manager of the Year award to me is measured. I think most writers measure it on results versus expectations. That
right.
they'll look at a team and say, on paper, this team should win X amount of games, and whichever manager can exceed that number of games by the most number of wins usually will end up with the Manager of the Year award. If I told you the Cubs were gonna there's the first Milwaukee mistake on the show. The Cubs were gonna lose their entire pitching staff and about two thirds of their bullpen over the course of the first two thirds of the way through the season here, and a lot of those would be season ending or months-long injuries when talking about all those injuries, you wouldn't say the Cubs would be 62-47 or whatever they are right now. You would think they're around a 500 baseball club, quite frankly, even with as stacked as that lineup looks. So I think, I don't know if he is the Manager of the Year, should be the front runner or top candidate for Manager of the Year, but he should certainly
top three.
Be in the conversation and in the top three. Where is he in those odds that you're looking at? I don't have him in front of me.
Well, it depends on where you look, but he can be anywhere from two to like seven. It's a very crowded field. I see like Don Mattingly up there. I'm like, the Phillies have kind of fallen off a little bit. In case you haven't been paying a lot of attention recently, there are guys in front of him, but this race is going to come right down to the wire. But 312-644-6767. A texter from the 708. Guys, I think PCA not only dropped the bat, but when he turned to the dugout, he was giving his back to the tarps off crew how they do him. Huh.
I didn't catch that little wrinkle in the celebration, but I like it.
PCA has a lot of subtleties to the way that he celebrates, but that was A-plus stuff there from PCA. But you mentioned it, Rami, host of 9 to Noon on Wisconsin Sports Radio with John Kuhn. So you interact with a ton of Brewers fans. You are a Cubs fan yourself. You are on both. You have seen both sides. You interact with both sides of this rivalry. The Brewers have just had the Cubs number when it comes to the NL Central over the, I mean, this is, they've taken the devil magic that the Cardinals used to have, and they turn out to develop pitchers that you've never heard of that throw 99 out of the bullpen, and you have to face you go from Josh Hader to Abner Uribe, just keep reloading and reloading, reloading if you're the Brewers. They're 6.5 games up in the National League Central. They got swept last year by the Los Angeles Dodgers. How much of a push do you think that they're going to make to try to acquire Tarek Skubal? And what will be the reaction from the Cubs and the Cubs fans if the Brewers are able to pull that off?
It sounds like they're serious about a major move, a Tarek Skubal type of move, or I don't know if Mason Miller is still available. We had Bob Nightingale on my show in Milwaukee on Friday, and he didn't make it seem like Mason Miller was still all that available, even though we had heard rumors to that effect in recent weeks. But I mean, there is too much smoke for there not to be a fire there. The chatter is too loud for it to all just be unsubstantiated, and the word is, I heard Jim Bowden of The Athletic say this the other day, former MLB GM, that Mark Antanasio, the frugal owner of the Milwaukee Brewers, has given the green light to make a Tarek Skubal type of trade and to take on the $9 or $10 million or whatever the salary is that's left on his contract this year as a rental. So I think there is something to that. I don't know that they land him, but they can present as good an offer as anybody, maybe a better offer than anybody in terms of the prospect package that they could present to the Detroit Tigers if they're willing to part with that type of capital or those types of assets between now and the trade deadline on Monday. And if they do it, Alex, this is going to sound like loser talk. I hate to say it. On some level, I think maybe you just, and this goes for the Dodgers too, you maybe just like softly wave the white flag on the scene. Not be a seller at the trade deadline by any means. I'm not saying that. But like, if the Dodgers or the Brewers have Tarek Skubal, do you really think you're going to go and beat them in a playoff series? I hate to be a defeatist. I hate to come on here and be a defeatist. But they're going to throw Jacob Mizorowski and Tarek Skubal at you for the first two games of,
then
let's
Kyle
say
Harrison,
and then Kyle Harrison in a 5-game series. Should you meet them in the wild card round or the divisional round, as you did last year, you're gonna win a series with those three guys coming at you. And I don't need to list off the names of the pitchers in Los Angeles that they'll be adding Tarek Skubal to. I don't love our chances. Even if you do go out and get like a Freddie Peralta, another name who's the guy from the Twins? Ryan, their starting
Joe
pitcher.
Ryan.
Joe
Ryan. They're back in contention.
They're back in contention, so I doubt they'll be sellers. So I guess there is urgency. I don't see the payoff if you give up the prospects to go and get a Freddie Peralta or somebody of that ilk if you're going up against the Brewers with Tarek Skubal or the Dodgers with Tarek Skubal. And look, does that mean they can't win a World Series? No. It just means that you're maybe pinning your hopes on getting lucky and hot in October, which has happened. You know what I mean? That Rangers team that was in the World Series a few years ago, that's what happened for them. That D-backs team that won a World Series a few years ago, that's what happened for them. So you're not giving up on the season altogether, but maybe instead of making a move, you save those bullets for future years and pin this year's hopes on getting hot and lucky at the right time in October. And maybe that pays off. Maybe it doesn't. And if it doesn't, maybe next year is the year to make the big move. And then you spend those bullets in terms of the prospects or pieces that you have to trade for any type of big piece at the trade deadline a year or two down the line.
Patrick Mooney of The Athletic reported earlier this week that the Cubs were in fact interested in Tarek Skubal. Now, this is where I have the questions of, first off, is that like real interest, or are they trying to drive up the price for Tarek Skubal
that's what I was thinking too.
For the Brewers and the Dodgers. And keep in mind, Jed Hoyer, Carter Hawkins, a very good relationship with Scott Harris, obviously dating back to his days on the north side with the Cubs. Now, the other question is, who's the favorite here? Is anybody going to be able to pry Tarek Skubal away from the Dodgers? Bob Nightingale of USA Today joined Inside the Clubhouse earlier today right here on The Score. Bruce Levine, David Haw, you can hear them on Saturdays 9 to 11. This was Nightingale with Inside the Clubhouse earlier today.
Well, they don't want to completely surrender. You know, they want to remember last year Cleveland trades away Shane Bieber, then they make the playoffs. I think what these guys want is to get another major league starter to fit in the rotation, you know, which, you know, doesn't help the Cubs cause in plus prospects. So a team like the Los Angeles Dodgers, yet they can do that. You know, they can give them an Emmett Sheehan. Don't give them their number one prospect. They can give them, you know, their two and three prospects and get it done. I mean, Dodgers are so loaded. They have, you know, nine players in the top 100 prospects, including six outfielders. You don't have room for all those guys anyway. So, you know, I think, you know, if the Dodgers had the druthers, I would prefer that Skubal just stays put. But the fact he's out there, it's almost like they get a little, play a little prevent defense here.
Right.
The last thing they want is him to face him in the playoffs.
So, Rami, he's going to the Dodgers, isn't he?
Yeah, sure. sure sounds that way. That we can't let that happen, right? Like,
what are we going to do about it?
Like, I don't know.
What are we going to do?
We can't. And not only because of what it means, like for baseball and the Dodgers' chances of winning a World Series. I don't know if you've heard this chatter, Alex, but a lot of people think that Tarek Skubal going to the Dodgers could be the final straw in a work stoppage for Major League Baseball with the CBA set
that's the final
after this year.
That's the final straw.
That's right. The final straw. Yeah, I don't know that I even believe that, or if that's just more like posturing and propagandizing to get us the fans on one side or the other.
I was told it was Kyle Tucker's contract.
Yeah, I was told that too.
There have been a lot of final straws here. I'm trying to keep up with all of them. Oh, MLB owners.
Honestly, enough with the Dodgers and them getting every player that goes. When they got Edwin Diaz in the offseason, I was like, oh, they get the top closer on the free agent market too. Like, there's just no end in sight to their resources that they put towards that roster, which, I mean, good for them. And I wish more Major League Baseball owners were like that. And I think more Major League Baseball owners could be like that. It's just not. I'm just gonna say it. It's just not fair, Alex. And I know I sound like a crybaby when I say that, but there's no other way to put it. It's just not fair what's going on with the Dodgers right now. And if they get Tarek Skubal, it's really, really not fair what's going on with the Dodgers right now.
So if you're the Cubs, we're gonna get in the White Sox in just a second. Say that Tarek Skubal goes somewhere else. It doesn't. They want a major league ready starter right now. The one that you have is hurt right now, like prospect-wise. Not prospect, but somebody who's pitched in the major leagues, who's had success with really good stuff at that level would be Ben Brown. He's hurt. You're not going to trade him, right? So there's been discussion about Reed Detmers of the Angels and the fact that the Angels are looking for a catching prospect. I believe it was Jeff Passan of ESPN earlier today that said that Owen Ayers could be that. I'm just having trouble right now with the Cubs because who are the prospects that you're willing to part with? Who are the prospects you have? And who are you willing to part with? And like, how do teams view Matt Shaw? How do teams view Pedro Ramirez? Because those are guys that you feel like, I'm not fully sure that Matt Shaw is an everyday starter, even though you projected him as that. Pedro Ramirez could very well be, has some more upside, but he's blocked at second base. What are you willing to give up if you're the Cubs, like you said, with no guarantee that you're going to be in a position to make a run at the World Series if the Dodgers or the Brewers get Tarek Skubal?
Yeah, are you better off, and hear me out here, are you better off not making a big trade at the trade deadline this year? Sign Tarek Skubal in free agency, give up no prospects in the process, and then you have all those prospects and guys that you just listed off there as tradable assets moving forward, whether it's this offseason or at next year's trade deadline, if you're in a similar position, and I'd imagine you would be if you signed Tarek Skubal in free agency. Now, that's really that's flexing your muscle as a big market organization if you're the Chicago Cubs to make that kind of free agency sign. That's kind of what the Dodgers are doing right now. They go out and spend the money in free agency to get a Kyle Tucker, and then they have the best farm system in baseball at their disposal to make trades at the trade deadline when the time and need arises. You know what I mean? I feel like that might be if the Dodgers or the Brewers go and get that guy between now and the trade deadline, and what that does to your odds or chances of getting out of the National League, that might just be a more prudent course to take if you're the Chicago Cubs, don't you think, Alex? Instead of spending those bullets this year to go and face the Miz and Scooble and Harrison, or Yamamoto and Shohei and Scooble, or whatever for, or Glass now, whoever they're going to throw at you in Los Angeles, because they have options in terms of what four starters they might throw at you in a playoff series who may or may not win a Cy Young. Like, I don't know that you're getting past that with this version of this Cubs team if that's what you're staring down in October.
So Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic also reported that the Cubs are looking to add not only starting pitching, and then there's been more reports that maybe they want to add three pitchers. They not only starting pitching, but relief pitching as well at the trade deadline. And my response to this is absolutely yes. Now, with the context of what may happen around them, that could change. But here's my point. Lance Brozdowski, the player development analyst for the Marquee Sports Network, he joined Spiegel and Holmes when we were at the Brot Stop right before the Cubs and the Brewers' first series in Milwaukee, the one where the Cubs took 2 of 3 in miraculous fashion right after a myriad of injuries to their starting pitchers, and they were going against Harrison and Mizorowski and just the likes of a brutal pitching staff of the Milwaukee Brewers. And he was asked about the Cubs and their lack of velocity out of the bullpen. And he pointed out that the player development and as far as the drafting goes, the Cubs have not spent a whole lot of money in the middle rounds of the draft on high velocity relief type pitchers, which is where you get where the Brewers have struck gold, right? Like they get these guys a lot of lottery tickets, they put them in their pitch labs, and they pump out guys that throw 100 miles an hour year in and year out. So Adrian Morahone is a guy from the Padres that could be available. Now, the Padres are, I believe, what, a game out of a wild card spot in the National League? So you'd have to pay a little bit more. You have to pay a little bit more for a guy who's throwing 100 miles an hour from the left side. You're going to have to compete against some teams to get him. But, Rami, my question is, if you're not going to spend draft capital on relief pitching and your issue is velocity out of the bullpen, don't you have to spend at some point on velocity out of the bullpen? Like, it's not going to fall out of the sky.
Right.
If you're Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins.
Yeah, and it's not going to just magically appear. You either have to spend the draft picks on it, or you have to spend the money on it, or you have to spend the prospects on it in a trade package to go and get that. And that's not just something that the Cubs need. That's how the game is played now. You know what I mean? You look across this league, and velocity out of the bullpen is how games, is how divisions, is how pennants, is how World Series are won.
It's the World Series part. It's how you win playoff games.
Yes. Yeah. It's throwing one 9,900-mile-an-hour pitcher after another 9,900-mile-an-hour pitcher. That is today's game. And if you're not investing in that somewhere along the way, whether it's in your draft or it's in free agency or it's in the assets you give up in a trade, well, you're not going to compete with these teams that are putting the investment into that very important factor in today's game of baseball. Like I don't know, like you just said, I don't know where they expect it to come from. Like, it's just going to manifest or fall out of the sky. These power arms out of the bullpen.
Rollison and I know Hobie Milner's coming back, and Caleb Thielbar, he's 39 years old, and God love him, he's still going out there and producing results. But do you feel comfortable going into a playoff series where your high leverage guys have a below 11% strikeout rate? I don't, if I'm a Cubs fan.
No, I don't. Short answer, Alex. No, I do not. I do not have a lot of faith in that.
We need to take time out. We're going to come back. We're going to get to the White Sox as far as their trade deadline approach. We'll get you ready for Cubs and Yankees coming up at 5:40 with the pregame. We're going to hand things off to Dustin Rhodes and Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer coming up. But one more segment, White Sox and Cubs lineup coming your way next on The Score.
The window opens like that you need to. You don't take those seasons for granted.
Right.
Every year that you can make the playoffs and have any
and
sort
who knows
of shot.
Who knows what next season looks like? If and there is a season, if it starts on time, who's on the team?
With the American League being what it is this year, I mean, we're like three games away from there being three 500 teams left in the American League right now. That's how bad the American League is as a whole. So do you look at this year and go, yeah, this wasn't supposed to be the year, but will you ever get like an easier path to the World Series than what you have right now when you look at the teams you'll have to go through? Now you look at Tampa and they're almost 20 games over 500. The Yankees are 14 games over 500. And the Red Sox have heated up here. So the East, whoever comes out of that will provide a challenge.
But those teams are all in the East.
Exactly. But I'm just saying, like,
you're
getting
right,
through
yes.
the American League and getting to a World Series.
Right.
I don't know that there will ever be like a clearer path to it than what you have this year. So is this year, even though we didn't think it was, and it kind of goes against like traditional thinking of where the White Sox are at in their rebuild and their development, is this low-key the year that they should be going for it just because of the path or the level of competition that they're going to have to face to get to the World Series? Now, once you get to the World Series, you're going to be facing like a really whoever comes out of the National League, you're going to be facing a really good team there. But I don't know that you'll ever get an easier path to a World Series than what you have in the American League right now. Not just for the White Sox, but for whoever can make it to the postseason. You're going to be going through at least for one or two series teams that are at or just barely above 500 to advance.
Yeah, and here's the thing about going for it. They're not going to acquire Tarek Skubal, right?
Right, right.
So what is the level of going for it that we're talking about?
You mentioned Morihone. I don't know if Mason Mill. You mentioned Morihone to the Cubs. That's
right.
A guy who the Brewers could sniff around. I don't know if Mason Miller is available.
Right.
There have been conflicting reports on. Now that's a go for it move.
Yep.
Go and get a Mason Miller. So there's just a couple of names I could throw out there. You know, The Athletic, and I could pull it up right now if you want, Alex. They've been doing their MLB trade deadline big board, like a draft big board, but it's a trade deadline big board, and they're now on 3.0. So I could just go down the list and you tell me who on this list you would consider quote unquote going for it for the White Sox. You mentioned Tarek Skubal, not happening. CJ Abrams, the shortstop from Washington, I don't know that there is necessarily a need at shortstop. Zach Neto, again, another shortstop from the Angels, probably don't need that guy. Mason Miller, I just brought him up. Joe Ryan from the Twins, although they're probably not selling. They've said
and especially not interdivision.
Not in the division. Hunter Goodman, the catcher from the Rockies, is that going for it if you make a move for a Hunter Goodman? I don't know.
A catcher or like Goodman or Tyler Stevenson?
The only issue I have with trading a Tyler Goodman is I don't know if that's like signaling that the Kyle Teal experiment is over, but
no.
adding a Tyler Stevenson I think would be a good 2 month thing down the
yep.
stretch at a position that they really have not had hardly any production out of outside of Edgar Caro and his two game winning hits.
Yep. And I feel horrible for the season that Kyle Teal has had and him getting injured in the WBC. And it's been one after another, but he's a cornerstone of this team. You need, like Clint said, somebody who's going to get you through the rest of the season. But at the same time, Rami, they're sitting here 2.5 games up in the AL Central and they have gotten no production from the catcher position. Not only offensively, but defensively,
dude,
as well.
I was listening to Spiegel and Holmes, which you are the producer of.
Yes,
that
sir.
Fine program. When the Kyle Teal injury happened and you guys were talking about his workout routine
oh yeah
that went viral
yeah
what was that
I don't know
I've used that machine.
I still see that clip pop up from time to time, and I'm like, oh.
I've used that machine. That is not how that machine is used.
No.
And I'm no fitness expert. I'm no personal trainer or bodybuilder, but that is not how that machine is used. I can definitively say that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. That did not look like it was very good on the ACL, the MCL,
weird.
The LCL, or the PCL.
I would like to have a word with that trainer at some point in time.
Yeah, me too. But Clint, excellent job today. Thank you so much for sitting on the other side of the glass and getting us from point A to point B unscathed, flying the plane today alongside baby T, Tyler Farengol, who trained him on the board today. Rami, it was a blast, man. Can't wait to do
Absolutely.
It again soon.
Can't wait.
It's been fun, live and local with Alex Kuhn and Rami Makhlouf, but we need to hand you off to Cubs baseball. It is next. 5:40 pregame show. Dustin Rhodes takes over next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.